You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Elder Ngube, you got to a point where you now started moving away from being, you know, a chef within the kitchen, now moving towards being, I don't know whether it's still relevant, an executive chef. Now, what challenges does it come with now when you find yourself at executive chef level? You've moved away from the grind. Now you're moving to executive level. What challenges does it come with, especially for a Christian?
I think, first of all, I did not last so much being an executive chef.
Yeah.
Because once you get to the senior levels of being a chef,
yeah,
you have a lot of avenues that you can take.
All right.
So one avenue that I took was being an executive chef trainer.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a chef who was in charge of training other chefs.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm. And I think somehow with the growth in it, you become pushed out of the kitchen.
Okay.
So I was pushed out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I really thank God for.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I miss the kitchen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you miss the kitchen.
I miss the kitchen. To be honest with you, I do miss the kitchen. But unfortunately, with the maybe with the growth of work and with the other qualifications that I attained as life went on,
mm-hmm.
I could not stay in the kitchen. I'll tell you one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am no longer working as a chef.
Right.
Yeah, I work as a quality controller.
Okay.
In charge of the human resources department.
Right.
So I go around,
mm-hmm.
Opening hotels, if there's hotels that needs to be opened, the Hilton hotels, because I work for the Hilton hotel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I go around setting up standards there,
mm-hmm.
from human resources,
mm-hmm.
development.
Right.
Right up to the general management of the hotel.
Right.
That's what I do. Yeah.
You know, talking about standards, let's quickly talk about standards, because you would be one person who worked quite a lot in the kitchen, and one of the standards that needed to be met in the kitchen was nutrition and hygiene.
Yes.
And nutrition, yes, and hygiene, for those that don't understand, it comes at a cost. And sometimes you meet people who want to cut corners. How did you handle, mm-hmm. that as being as a Christian, and also now looking at the environment where people now want to cut corners because of costs that are involved? How did you navigate that space where you are not cutting corners but keeping true, not only to the workplace, but keeping true to God?
Mm-hmm. You see, that's one good part of being a Christian, especially being an Adventist,
mm-hmm.
where we always emphasize cleanliness, being close to God.
Yeah.
So that became very, very easy for me. And one good thing is with the Hilton Hotel, we have machines that we use in the kitchen that can detect,
yeah,
contamination, that can detect germs.
Mm-hmm.
And they can detect, those machines can actually detect to an extent of telling you that that person needs to cut their nails.
Wow.
That person needs to go and wash their hands. So it becomes so easy even to communicate, because it's not you who is telling the person that the person is dead.
Right.
But the machine tells the person that you are dead.
Yeah.
And all that I need to do is go through and read that machine and tell the person that this is what you need to do all the time.
Right. Wow.
So as a Christian, you're not fighting with anyone.
Right.
And also being an Adventist, knowing that cleanliness is next to godliness, it made me look clean.
Yeah.
And know the standard.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You are not one of those chefs that's, because there's a myth to say there are chefs who've got a certain pot or certain utensil that they say, no, keep it like this. It gives me a good outcome when I cook.
Yeah, for sure. I see that you you worked a long time close to people that work in the kitchen. That no longer happens. That was a myth for sure that was there, that, you know, a dirty chef was loved by people, but it's no longer like that.
Mm.
There's nothing like that. The chef is dirty, no one will love you.
Yeah, that for sure, for sure. No, we worked quite a long time in that industry.
That's a long time.
But moving on, this question I needed to ask. And how do maybe ladies that are pregnant within that environment? Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges to say.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got this desire to really work in a kitchen. But then you become pregnant. And I don't know, how do they navigate that space? Because there's quite a lot of standing, quite a lot of walking up and down, checking quality, checking this. How do they navigate that space?
You know, I don't want to comment much about that because I think our ladies are the most precious people, and what they will be carrying is a precious baggage.
Yeah.
But I worked with one chef who was a pastry chef.
Right.
And she fell pregnant, but I didn't know how far she was before she could give birth.
Mm.
But you know that lady could work.
Mm-hmm.
Stand for long hours.
Right.
Still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And until I said to her, I think the best that we need to do is to take you to the kitchen where you take you to the storeroom where you are able to order things and record things while sitting down.
Mm.
You know, so I thought that helped, and this is one other thing that still helps in the kitchen.
Mm.
If you are pregnant, we give you that opportunity to go into the stores, go into the computer, do paperwork for us.
All right.
Oh. And again, lucky enough, these people, they have, with Hilton, we've got 4 months of maternity leave.
Wow.
So it gives them that opportunity. And when they come back, they are new people. They are new people, and you don't see any difference in them. They work normally. I have respect of that.
You know what I'm hearing, Elder Ncube, is that when I rewind back and play at the time you guys trained and the time you started working, this environment has changed quite a lot for the better.
Actually, it has changed totally.
Right.
Though I always say we were trained in the best way.
Right.
It was more like an army thing.
yeah.
You remember even our hierarchy in the kitchen, it was known as a brigade.
Yeah.
Because you were trained to be a soldier then.
Yeah.
But it's no longer the case. It's really no longer the case.
Wow, that's quite interesting. Yeah. And as we're about to wrap it up, Elder Ncube, you spoke about a pastry chef. I've heard of sous chefs. Let's just break it down. What types of chefs do you have in the kitchen?
So you want me to explain the brigade that I just spoke about?
Because there's somebody listening who might just want to take that route. And, you know, you could just drop a few hints and pointers.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
First of all, you've got an executive chef.
Right.
The person who's in charge. That's more like a manager.
Right.
They do cook, but to a certain extent.
Right.
And then you've got sous chefs. The sous chefs are the people that will help the executive chef.
Right.
And then you've got what we call party chefs.
Mm-hmm.
A person who's in charge of pastry.
Okay.
The person is in charge of pastry. They will only concentrate on desserts and any sweet bakery things that are there.
Right.
And you spoke about ladies running away from the chefing industry, but the pastry chefs, most of them, most of them are ladies.
Right.
Though you get men that are artistic, very artistic, because you need to be very artistic if you're a pastry chef.
Right.
That deals with desserts and all those other small things. Then, of course, you've got We used to have chefs that would deal with sauces, specific sauces and vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. Where somebody needed to know that there's a basic white sauce, there's a basic brown sauce, there's a sauce Robert that will come from an Espanol, there's a, you know, all those things. That are the specific sauce chef.
Your journey within this.
They dealt with salads and any cold food that you do get. Yeah. So those are the specific chefs. Of course, the butcher chefs and the other chefs have been abolished because you need to now to be a general and or general chef, you know, that can do almost everything.
Okay. So it would seem to me that you also need to be dynamic within the industry. You can't be one line focus on one thing. You need to be multifaceted.
For you to be a chef, you need to be an artist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
You cannot be a chef if you're not an artist.
Right.
Now, so this is why you get some people being promoted, because a pastry chef is obviously a very artistic somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Ncube, how is it that you have maintained not growing fat, having worked in this industry for quite a long time?
I have not. That I will refuse. It's unfortunate that people cannot see me. But you remember how small I was as a tumor.
How have you managed not to gain weight? Because I've seen chefs, you like, this person just lives for food.
It was so difficult, or it is so difficult for me to manage that. You know it very well. I think my biggest lucky point was that I used to play soccer. You know how I used to turn and twist in this world. You know it very well.
Yeah.
So I never stopped.
Yeah.
That's what's keeping me somehow trying to keep me as slim as possible. But if you cannot maintain your exercises, if you cannot walk, if you cannot run, you will have a problem as a chef.
Yeah.
You will definitely, because I really not noticed that I was having a problem when I stopped going to the field.
Yeah.
So I had to maintain my program of going to the soccer field, to go and run, to go and play soccer, to twist and to turn so that I maintain that.
Now, as we close it, Elder Ncube, when you look back, do you see God's hand in your profession? Do you see, when you look back and you say, wow, God has been good to me?
You've got such a limited time for me to tell you about God's hand.
No, continue. Let's hear about that God's hand. I want to hear.
First of all, I've never worked on a Sabbath.
Right.
Never.
Right.
Secondly, when things were no longer going well, wherever we were working in Zimbabwe, God had a hand in me going into Namibia to establish hotel school.
Yeah.
In Namibia.
Right.
And I have gone all over the world. Not because of me being clever, but because of God's hand.
Amen.
And wherever I go, sometimes I really ask myself, what is going to happen? But God directs me there.
Yeah.
When I got to, I'll speak about Namibia. When I got to Namibia, I didn't know where I was going. And the head office in Windhoek actually said to me, choose where do you want to go? And I said, I am choosing Oshakati. I don't know how it came to my mind, but I think it was God that said I must go to Oshakati. When I went to Oshakati, the place where I stayed or where it was supposed to be my base was only 100 meters away from the church.
Wow.
And I had so much time to do God's work at that place that I said, I owe this to God. This is the reason why I should do it.
Right.
And then where I also see God's hand is within my family as well.
Mm-hmm.
My wife in particular, she's very supportive.
Right.
I stay away from home
mm-hmm.
for some time.
Right.
And when I come back, I see things happening
yeah.
in God's way.
Amen.
And this is where I see God's way. Look, there is, I think for sure, when I started this, I did not know
mm-hmm.
that I will have the Sabbath as much as I have.
Yeah.
I have the pleasure of enjoying Sabbath and resting
mm.
on a Sabbath, going which, in which case I make sure I do not miss a day in church.
Mm.
It's because of all God's hand. Look, a lot of people that I probably trained with
mm.
did not even attain the positions that I have attained.
Mm.
It's all God. I don't think I'm clever.
Yeah.
Right now, as we are speaking, I'm opening, this is the third Hilton Hotel that I'm opening
mm, mm.
in Cape Town. I'm based in Cape Town,
mm.
Gardens in Longkloof.
Mm.
And soon I'll probably be moving to Durban
mm-hmm.
to go and open another hotel, the Hilton Hotel. So it's all God's hand.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who can do this.
Yeah.
But I think God chooses me to do it.
Why, amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful.
Thank you.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
I think, because we always assume, Muguti, you know what, I went to school, I studied for this, I can do this. But you've put it so nicely. It's not about our qualifications, it's about God choosing where we should land. And I love that, because it then gives all glory and honor unto the Lord. And I'm very blessed by that statement. And finally, Elder Ncube, do you enjoy food cooked by somebody else?
I do.
Okay.
I do that. I cannot take away.
Okay.
Because you know, with cooking, you learn every day.
Right.
So someone might cook some food in a different way.
Right.
Then it becomes so exciting to say, wow, can somebody do something like this?
Mm-hmm.
So I really do. So when I come to your place, I still cook for her. And I think that's one thing that I need to put out there, that when I come to your place, please cook.
Right.
Don't say you have found a chef. I am not, I don't know. But
you are not a chef.
I'm a professional chef, yes. Mm. But yeah. But I'll eat what you will cook. Please don't feel bad about it. Cook whatever it is. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Elder Boniso Ncube, who's trained as a chef and has been sharing with us insights into the hotel industry, into being a chef. And just in case you want to be a chef, you would know the challenges. He's shared with us the challenges, but also he has shared with us what God has done for him above all things. And we just want to say thank you very much to Elder Ncube for sharing these insights. I don't know which profession you are in, but if you would like to share with us insights of the profession that you are in and how God has led you, you can text us on our WhatsApp line. That's +27 73 470 3520. Elder Ncube, we just want to say thank you very much for your time and your sharings.
Thank you, Elder Chuma. Thank you so much. You know, we have mentored a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we have, especially Christians that would want to go into the chefing industry, please be in touch.
Yes.
And let's help you.
Oh, yes. Well, if you heard there, Elder Ncube, if you want to talk to him, talk to me. This is the Value of Praise right here on the Adventist World Radio.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.